to the CFO Show. I'm your host, Melissa Howitson, CFO of Venna. Agile methodologies are widely used in tech because they increase a team's responsiveness to change. However, any profession can benefit from an agile culture. With market conditions constantly shifting in recent years, finance leaders should consider adopting agile methodologies into their work streams. Joining us to talk about agile strategies for annual budgeting and planning is Dominic DiBernardo, partner at Citrin Cooperman Advisors, where he helps middle market businesses optimize their finance and business operations. Dom, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
So before I jump into my questions, let's start with a bit about your background and Citrin Cooperman and what you do there.
Yeah, so I actually cut my teeth in FP&A. I ran FP&A teams for about 13 years prior to going off and creating a consulting practice entirely around CPM, particularly Venna. And I was a client for 6 years. And then probably 3 years into forming the DB group, was acquired by Citrin Cooperman. And Citrin Cooperman is a tax accounting and advisory firm that has also built up a fairly large digital services practice. Our practice, the DB Group, was the first to join the firm back in 2021 to establish that digital services practice, and has since acquired a NetSuite implementation shop and has become a Microsoft partner. So that's a fairly large part of the business and a fairly large part of the strategic plan going forward. In terms of my role here, I run all things corporate performance management. And today that's really, Venna focused, but there's a couple other ancillary services like Power BI to go vertical in the tech stack. And we'll be opportunistic over time as, the tech stack, kind of changes and evolves over time in terms of things that can plug and play to make the life of an FP&A professional or an accountant more seamless and efficient.
Maybe as we think about, we're getting towards the end of the year, as finance leaders start thinking about next year and annual planning, what would be some of your advice for how they should go about getting started?
The first best practice is really to try to lay out a timeline, so you can kind of work backwards in terms of what needs to be done, when, and by whom. To me, that really sets the tone and also the expectation of, what needs to be done and who's going to be doing it.
I love that idea because I think sometimes we forget to incorporate some of the other key dependencies that you take for granted are happening. When I think about an annual operating plan, you've got your product group doing their product roadmap. You've got your go-to-market team doing their go-to-market planning. You've got your strategy with your executive team. And you really want to make sure that this planning is a part of that bigger picture so that the whole thing is going to speak to one another by the time you're done. Otherwise, I find you spin extra cycles and timing because you didn't lay out a good plan in the beginning. So great piece of advice.
Just to add on to that, not only do you risk, play catch up and end up juggling a bunch of balls and spinning a bunch of plates, but you also run the risk of not creating a holistic plan that actually does get the participation that you want and the buy-in that you need to hold people accountable for the process. And so, to me, that's what the real value of CPM is, not only does it allow you to, get through your planning processes faster, but to drive that collaboration to have a fully informed, annual plan or forecast, whatever the forward-looking process is that you're working on.
So let's talk a bit about agile and agile planning. How do you think that finance leaders can adapt agile practices into their annual planning as well as their ongoing planning? I think sometimes we think of agile as more something that they do over in the software side of the house, but I think there's a lot of applicability in finance.
I think definitely it is probably a confused term, but one that's been, I think, more widely adopted in finance, where you think about, when I was a senior financial analyst starting out my career, the quote unquote development that I was doing, was creating the templates and the infinite permutations in terms of, I had 40 different profit centers, that rolled up to 5 strategic business units, and we added GL. So I had to make sure all those templates, had, those GLs added. And if there's any, business logic, because we were using native Excel back then, I was developing those templates before we could even launch the process. Where today, if you have a proper CPM tool, I think that's step number one, because now you can create scalable processes that take away that manual, cumbersome, again, I'll use development work, just because Agile is so tied to kind of the software industry. to really, I would say, hit the ground running in a planning process, which means that also means you can also start a lot later. You know, in my experience with the CPM tool personally, you know, we condensed planning cycles, you know, for an annual plan, for example, from say 5 to 6 months down to, you know, a month and a half or 2 months, because a lot of that heavy lifting was being handled by technology. And so you're spending more time collecting the inputs and the qualitative information across the organization and then layering in strategic initiatives and whatnot. So I know that was a long-winded answer, but I think it really starts with, you know, having a proper tool in place to really be, to allow you to be agile.
And maybe, you know, you're making me think, if we step back and even think about what is agile, what do you think are the benefits of adapting agile principles into the planning process?
It would take 13 business days to close the month. It might take another couple of weeks before, you know, the reports actually went out to the various, you know, stakeholders in the business. And then we start a forecasting process or an annual planning process that was based on very stale information. And so by that time, you know, the levers that you're going to pull, you've already lost another month and a half, 2 months. And so you're constantly in this reactionary state where you don't really get to spend a lot of time being proactive. So I think, you know, being agile really means being proactive and keeping up with the speed of business at which it, you know, runs today.
And so if we've got finance listeners who maybe have never even tried to implement agile, how could they go about defining the methods and starting to think about how to incorporate them into their business?
First, identifying what are all the different steps in the process and who are the different players, and figuring out, you know, like it probably goes back to the Pareto principle of 80-20 and figuring out, you know, what's the 20% that's going to have the biggest impact on the, you know, on the budget, you know, in terms of the 20% that drives the 80%, and start with those. You figure out, you know, you're going to have to do a little bit of, you know, due diligence and deep diving to figure out how you can get things to a more scalable state. Because what you really want to do is you want to condense the time it takes to get through what you might, you know, deem as a normal cycle now. You know, if something was taking you, you know, 2 months before, you need to kind of reinvent the wheel, go back to first principles, say like, there's got to be a better way. What is that way? And what do we need to put in place to make this possible, to go from 2 months to 2 weeks, or to go from 2 weeks to 2 days? But at the same time, you have to do this in a collaborative way with this various stakeholder. So whatever those 20% of activities that are going to drive 80% of the, you know, the activity in the planning process, make sure that you're involving those stakeholders to go through that brainstorming session to, you know, kind of rethink how the processes work today versus how they would work in an agile environment. And if you have a scalable process, you know, not only will you get through it faster, but that also means you can get through it more frequently as information is changing in your business, but also in the broader economy.
And I've seen that put into action, exactly what you're talking about. Sometimes you might be starting with an annual plan and there's so much energy that goes into that, that by the time it's done, people are exhausted and wanting to take a break. When you can start to make those tweaks like you're talking about, especially attacking those things that are taking up most of the time, then you can start to move towards quarterly and even monthly, and getting to the point, I do find when you get to more frequency, because you're able to do it and it's not as heavy of a lift, it takes so much pressure off the year-end planning because so much is already alive and you even potentially have gotten into rolling forecasts that it can just start to become part of the everyday operating cadence and not feel like such a big thing that's off to the side and different every year. So, but I think I love your approach because I think you want to start small, defining where you're going to go and just keep on iterating on how to keep getting better and better at this.
One, I think you hit the nail on the head. You probably said it way more succinctly than I did. But you know, moving into a rolling forecast is really, in my opinion, the ultimate goal, because let's say you're doing a 12-month rolling forecast and you're going to start your annual planning process in, say, September. Well, all of a sudden you have, you know, let's assume you're on a calendar year. All of a sudden you now have, you know, 12 months looking forward. So you're only going to be forecasting 3 or 4 months, you know, above and beyond the last forecast you completed. And so, you know, and then when you're not in annual planning process, like you're really just updating the, you know, the numbers that have changed because of significant or material change in the business or different, you know, areas of the business.
And how do you think that companies that implement agile, how does that change the relationship between finance and the other parts of the organization?
I mean, I personally think that it elevates finance. Finance becomes, you know, seen as a strategic partner. I mean, the evolution I've seen in my own career prior to getting on the consulting side is that finance has evolved into the hub of business intelligence. And so when you adopt an agile approach, you allow finance to play a strategic role and to become more of a profit center than an overhead function. You know, we're no longer just reporting to you what happened last month. We're helping you understand what might unfold in the future and what levers you have to pull to actually affect change if you don't like what the outcome is currently predicting.
I absolutely agree. And I think that that relationship between finance and the rest of the business becomes tighter because you're moving together hand in hand. You know, I always think, you know, it's being successful when all of a sudden finance people are being invited in to almost, there's almost like this dotted line that starts to happen between finance and the parts of the business that they're supporting. And then as they're in these meetings, finding out about new things in real time, they can run the models quickly and see the so what, what's that going to mean? And it starts to make things less abstract as you're making business decisions as well. So it becomes really mutually beneficial, I think, for both finance, but also the other parts of the business.
Well, yeah, and I think it truly changes the dynamic. And I remember my first planning cycle back in 2007, 2008, fresh out of school. And it was more about me chasing people down to get their budget inputs from the templates that I sent out, and way less about collaboration and analyzing what they've submitted. Where when you move to a more agile approach, all of a sudden, I mean, yes, you're still set, you know, you're still asking the business to give you information, but now they're looking at you as a sounding board. They're looking at you to help them sniff test new initiatives and how that's going to affect the results of their P&L in their particular spot, area of the business. They're asking you to make sure that they're thinking through scenarios correctly. So that way they can really land on the high probability outcome based off of the assumptions they have in their particular area of the business versus just, here's the numbers and then finance coming back and saying, well, how'd you get to these? What are your assumptions? You just straight line this, it's no longer us playing the cop of making sure they got their inputs in and making sure that they've actually thought through how they got to those inputs. It's a much more thoughtful and collaborative process for sure.
The CFO Show is brought to you by Vena, the only complete planning platform natively integrated with Microsoft 365. With Vena, your finance and operations team can maximize your productivity and efficiency to deliver data and insights to your whole business faster. Vena lets your team use the Microsoft apps they already know and love, like Excel and PowerPoint, while giving your business the power of scale through a robust centralized database and AI capabilities. Learn more at venasolutions.com.
It's a much more thoughtful and collaborative process for sure.
When finance leaders start to think about becoming more agile, it can feel a little bit daunting because it feels like that could mean more work and I'm already overburdened. I don't have time. How do you think that finance leaders can go about fostering that agile culture when they're facing a bit of a lack of agility in their team?
First off, you have to go out with what I refer as a servant's heart. You have to go out to help people, right? You show up and say, let me help you, help me help us, right? And sometimes what that really means is that, yes, it's going to be harder at first, but it's like any kind of investment you make. You have to have an upfront resource that you're willing to give up to get dividends on the back end. And so that means finance may be working, slightly longer hours initially to work less hours later and also to have more impact in the organization. Until you get the organization, those budget owners and folks that have accountability for some part of the P&L in cash flow and whatever metrics that you're holding them accountable for, have gotten a few reps under their belt and then start to see the value. Say, oh yeah, that was painful the first time I went through. It got easier the second time, and by the third time, you're like, wow, this is taking 10% of the time it used to take. You have to hold their hand a little bit and maybe practice the. The first one I'll do, you'll watch me, right? So you're with your business partner and they're watching you and you're kind of asking them questions and maybe even handholding so much where you're filling it in for them. The second one is, hey, how about you do and I'll watch? And then the third one is, you do it completely without me. And then you enable your team, because maybe you're going to start to delegate as the business grows and you're going to teach them. So not only are we going to have faster cycles, but you're going to have folks that are so comfortable with it, they're going to start training, beyond the finance function. But, finance is always going to be tied in, because they're the ones that kind of are the genesis or the brain of the operation, so to speak.
I agree. If you can find a quick win for people and start to show the wins, it starts to get the buy-in to get a little bit easier as you're going. What have been some of the most effective strategies that you've seen for finance to get internal stakeholder feedback and being able to work better together in an agile way?
Well, I think it's always important to find champions. You know, you kind of alluded to in your last response, you know, I think case studies are very effective in terms of, you know, social proof. So if you can find someone that's willing to be your champion, to be the guinea pig, you know, you take them through the process and then you let them share with the organization how much the change in the process was helpful for them. And you build a case study together that goes out to essentially drive influence across the organization. It has to start with one person. I always think about compounding, since, you know, we're talking, you know, to finance professionals here, you know, compounding is a very magical force, but you can't start with nothing, right? You can start with almost nothing. And at a very high compounding rate, even if you start with a penny, you know, like you've probably all heard the penny doubled story, right? After 30 days, you know, you end up with something over, you know, $10 million. I guess the punchline here is you can't start with nothing. You have to start with something. And so you have to find that champion that you can build a case study for and then go throughout the organization and use influence through social proof to get buy-in from the rest of the organization.
Do you have any tips for how to get the rest of the business to want to continue working with you in an agile way?
It starts to become a flywheel, because what happens is once you kind of bring that champion on, you start to get, you know, this grassroots movement of people like kind of starting to talk about, you know, wow, it's, you know, I actually am starting to save, you know, time, and I'm actually starting to gain more insight in terms of, you know, what I was doing before. Before it was just one mad scramble to get it done, you know, to juggle my job, to juggle what, you know, financing's for me. But now I actually am able to find that white space to think about what I'm doing in terms of a plan going forward and what are the assumptions and what are the various scenarios I might run. And then what else? What are the other outcomes? What are the other things that finance can now help me with? Because we're not taking, you know, 3 months, 4 months to get through a budget cycle. We can actually spend more time, you know, analyzing strategic initiatives and understanding what the impact might be if we layer those in on the plan. So in a long-winded or roundabout way, how do you do it? I think you stay steadfast. You continue to work with folks and show them that there is a time savings. There is additional value on the other end of pain. Because, you know, look, we're all human, right? It's innate to resist change. But in today's world, if you don't change and you don't evolve, then you die eventually. It might be a slow death, it might be a fast death, but we have to evolve at the speed at which technology is changing. I mean, who knows what the world's going to look like in 10 years from now with, you know, all the hype with AI. Like right now it's mostly hype, but like there's going to be legitimate use cases out there. And if you're not willing to change, you're going to lose your competitive edge against the competition.
What are some of the ways then that culturally you've seen some of your clients start to get people on board with this ongoing way of working? Because I think you're right. And it's a culture. There's a change management aspect to doing this that I think can't be underestimated.
It requires a high degree of self-awareness. And when I say self-awareness, I'm talking about the organization, you know, as a being, right? An organization is a living being. And, you know, you have to first assess, do we have the right people with the right mentality to take this organization to the next level? And sometimes the answer is yes. And sometimes the answer is unfortunately no. And so I've seen more often than not that the evolution requires a hard decision to let good people go that served a role to get the company to where it is today, but they're not the right person to get the company to where it's going to go next. So sometimes, you know, I guess ruffling, you know, feathers and plucking some of them is a requirement to get past the hurdles that you're going to face when you have people that have been in positions for long periods of time, but just haven't or aren't willing to adapt with, you know, where the company is going next.
And you've seen lots with your different clients or in your own experience when you were doing FP&A. What are some of the best examples you've seen where adopting more agile thinking and planning has resulted in better business outcomes?
Prior to moving to more of an agile, you know, process, and like this evolution started in 2014 when I was with my last employer, and they were doing, you know, prior to my joining, they had brought me in as that fresh blood to help, you know, drive the change that the organization was looking for. You know, they were running a profit margin of about 14% after, you know, decades of running, you know, north of 25%, you know, profit margins. And they were growing substantially, but the things that worked for them as a smaller company, you know, didn't scale. And so they'd lost some of that efficiency, some of those controls that were in place. And so by putting agile processes in place over the course of the next, 3 to 5 years, we increased, profit margins from 14% to north of 25%. And this is all the while the business was going from 50 million in revenue top line to, north of 400 million. So, a lot of folks out there will tell you that you have to choose growth over profit. You can't have your cake and eat it too. But if you have the right processes in place, you can be a contrarian, you can go against the grain, and you can do things that people think are not possible because that's not the way it has historically been done. And I think agile really enables you to think differently and to achieve different types of results for someone that might be doing similar activity, but not have the same, agile or nimble approach that you have, injected into the organization.
And you get the benefit of working with a number of different customers, different industries, different sizes of companies. What are some of the top themes that you're hearing, things that are top of mind with FP&A folks that you work with?
As much as technology has improved significantly, put AI aside, I'm still amazed at the level of archaic process that's still in place today. You have, companies that are doing hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue and have hundreds or thousands of employees, and they're still living in manual, cumbersome, processes that technology has been around to automate for, well over a decade. And so I think, the real conversation, yes, AI is potentially going to be important in the future, but the real question is, how do we continue to upskill our people to take advantage of the technology that is available to us today and be profitable at it as well, right? Because it's one thing to make an investment in your people and the technology, but if you can't, as an organization or as a business, find a way to do it profitably, that's a problem. And so I think, organizations are trying to do it in a thoughtful way, but I think they're also getting stuck in analysis paralysis. Sometimes you just have to have, the best information you can get in a reasonable time frame and just make a decision and start implementing. Otherwise, you're going to continue to fall further and further behind. There's never going to be that panacea moment where all stars are aligned and you think you've got everything figured out. It's like trying to boil the ocean. It's an impossible task.
So many great pieces of insight here. One last question for you. If you had to boil it all down and give just one piece of advice for how to go about agile or why, what would that be?
Start small, but plan for something much bigger as you continue to get success.
Great advice there. Now, before I let you go, I have two rapid fire questions that we usually like to ask our guests. Are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
What is your go-to strategy to stay productive during the workday?
For me personally, it's starting every day with exercise. So I try to get activity in 6 to 7 days a week. And then I also have recently introduced cold plunges into my routine. Like, in the middle of the day, I may not be working directly in finance anymore, but like my day is still very, packed and can be stressful from time to time. But like taking a midday cold plunge will essentially reset your entire nervous system and put you in more of a zen state. And that helps me really come back and just, finish the day strong. But yeah, that would be my tip. I mean, I think activity is underrated, especially in finance accounting folks. I mean, I remember plenty of long nights and weekends, and fitness was always one of the first things to get thrown to the side. But if you make that a priority, it's really hard to have a non-productive day when you've started your day so well.
I have not taken into this whole cold plunge trend. Do you actually enjoy it, or do you still wince about it, like dread doing it every day?
I actually enjoy it. My kids call me the polar bear. Because I actually do like the cold, and I put my AC in my bedroom down to 65 degrees at night. Otherwise, I can't sleep. So,
wow,
I actually do enjoy the cold.
Excellent. And second question: what helps to turn a bad day around for you?
The thing that helps me the most is I work from home, but when my kids get home every day, they come running down the hall yelling "Daddy," and it's really hard to have a bad day from that point forward.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much. Really appreciate having this conversation with you today. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, it was a blast. Thank you.
If you'd like to learn more about today's topic, please visit the links in the show notes. Looking for more great CFO show content? Sign up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll get a roundup of exclusive content to help you grow and drive strategic transformation. Visit thecfoshowpodcast.com to sign up now. For The CFO Show, I'm Melissa Howitson. Until next time.